Yud Dalet Sivan, Monday the 1st of June, Rabbi Moshe Levi, Desire.
So we just finished the longest parasha in the Torah, Parashat Naso, and we get to Parashat Balot Echa. And I think when you look through the parasha, it seems a bit schizophrenic. We start with Ba'alot Echad Ha'Nerot. Our rabbis tell us all the Nesi'im just brought all their sacrifices. Comes Aharon, and what does Aharon say? What about me? I also want to have something. I also want to be part of this unbelievable dedication of the Mishkan. What am I going to do? What's my part? They got to donate. They got to be involved. What about me? And we know famous Ramban. Hashem says, don't worry, you're going to light the menorah, that's going to be forever and ever, all the generations, you're lighting the menorah. Aharon says, I don't want to lose out, I want to be involved, I want to do, connect, donate. Then we have the famous story, Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, we all know, people come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, Lama nigara, why should we lose out? We weren't pure when it came time to bring the Korban Pesach when we left Egypt. It's a month later, and the Mefarshim discuss how if they wouldn't have come, and they wouldn't have said, what about us, and they wouldn't have said, we want to do it, what would have happened?
No Pesach Sheni.
There'd be no such thing as Pesach Sheni. It's not, usually most Chagim, they're there, it's just a matter of how they come out, when we bring them out, what was the reason that we celebrate them, we all know Pesach. Right? Commentaries always say, there's inyan to eat matzah. There's certain times in the year that there's certain kochot, certain powers. Pesach, we eat matzah. So you ask anybody, why do we eat matzah? They'll tell you, the Jews were rushing out of Egypt. But you look over 400 years before that, the angels come to Abraham Avinu. Rashi tells us, what does he serve them? Matzot. He tells Sarah, Lushti Vasu Ugot. And the Pasuk where it discusses matzot, it calls them Ugot Matzot. By Lot, it says straight out. He bakes them matzot. The Pasuk says matzot. So, you're right, there was an excuse that the Jews left Egypt. But if it wasn't that reason, there would have been another reason. Abraham Avinu saw in the creation, it's a time to eat matzah. The Chagim are there. Seems like Pesach Sheni wasn't there. The Jewish people, they come and they say, or those that were Tameh come and say, why should we lose out? We want to do mitzvot. That's very different to the attitude we have nowadays. Nowadays, everybody's favorite month is Nisan. Why is everyone's favorite month Nisan? No Tachnun. If the guy gets up there a day after Rosh Chodesh and starts saying Tachnun, they swallow him alive. Shame, right? Because there's like a bris, like a block over. You're like, oh, it's on the same road. We're Yaitse, we don't have to. It's sort of the same shul, and the guy davened here once. Right? We're looking almost to get out of it. These people come and they say, Lama nigara, why should we lose out? And then, we know that we have this very special, which needs its own class in and of itself, two psukim, that the rabbis tell us, it's its own separate Torah, its own separate chelek, the backwards nuns. We think that there's five books of the Torah, there's seven. There's Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra. The first part of Bamidbar is number four. These two psukim of Vayhi ben So'aron is book number five. The rest of Bamidbar after that is number six, and Devarim is number seven. The seven books of the Torah. And the rabbis tell us, why are these two psukim here? They seem quite random in the juxtaposition of the parasha or the chumash. And the rabbis discuss at length that you don't want to have too many bad stories in a row. Because right before it said, Vayisu mehar Hashem derech shosh damim, varom brit Hashem nosea lefnehem derech shosh damim, latur lahem minucha. Doesn't seem like a bad thing that they left Har Sinai. But you look in the Gemara and Masechet Shabbat, we all know the famous terminology, Tosafot tells us, Kitinoka Boreach, Ibeta Sefer. They're a kid running away from school. Last day in school, ooh, eh? We've had over here some controversy with Muck-Up Day. Last day of school, very exciting. Everyone can't wait to get out to party, to do something wrong. The Jewish people, Kitinoka Boreach. So although the Torah doesn't tell us, it wasn't necessarily a good thing. Which again is quite perplexing, considering we were just saying, Lama Nigara. And then right afterwards, the Torah tells us, "Vayi am kimit oninim." People start complaining, Rabbi Hashem, they're bad in the eyes of God. Vayishma Hashem. Hashem hears Vayichara po, he gets very upset. Ta'el ba'am ish Hashem, tochal b'ksia machaneh. Fire comes down and burns the edge of the Jewish people. Vayitzak amel Moshe, and they speak to Moshe. Vayitpalem Moshe el Hashem v'shaga esh, and Moshe prays, the fire stops. So it tells us, Vayikra Hashem makom ma'ut tevayera. The name of that place is Tevayera, ki ba'ara ba'esh Hashem. That's another problem, another story. And then we get to what I want to discuss today. Ba'asafsuf Hashem b'kivo, and Asafsuf, which normally most people say is referring to Erev Rav, hit'avu ta'ava, they desired a desire. And the Mefarshim discussed over here, what does it mean, hit'avu ta'ava? Should have just said, ba'asafsuf Hashem b'kivo, hit'avu, they had a desire. What do you mean, hit'avu ta'ava, they desired a desire? What was the desire for? Ve'yeshku ve'yivku, they start crying. Gam b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people, they also start complaining, they also start crying. And what do they say? Ve'amru mi achlenu basar. Who's going to give us meat? We want meat. So they're complaining about what? Meat. What's the next words in the Pesukim say? Zacharnu ta'daga, remember the fish. I have nothing wrong with fish, but fish ain't meat. Eh? You go to the restaurant, you want a nice steak, the guy gives you fish, you're not going to be too happy. What are they want meat. What are they saying? We remember the fish. Shenochab in Mitzrayim, that we ate in Egypt. Chinam, it's free. Eh? The Nile River, tons of fish. Again, they were slaves. Did they just have access to eat whatever they wanted? Itakishuim, right? Remember the zucchinis? Personally, I'm not such a fan, but okay. Eta batichim, watermelon, good watermelon, there's nothing like it. Eta hatsir, the betzelim, the shumim, the onions and the garlic. Oh, we remember the good stuff. I've never had anybody come to me and say, oh, I'm craving watermelon. It's nice. Craving fish. And again, what were they complaining? Meat. In the pasuk, when they come, they don't actually say anything about meat. All we have is the man. And the Torah now takes a commercial break. We're in the middle of a story. I'm going to give you a little commercial just to tell you how nice the man is. And it goes through three psukim discussing the greatness of the man. Because it's a God who tasted like whatever you wanted. It was fantastic. It was amazing. And it didn't just come down on the ground. Who wants to eat off the floor? First you have the tal, the dew. Then it was classy. It wasn't just on the floor. Moshe hears the people complaining. What are they complaining about? Mishpechotav. Before, what are they complaining about? Meat. And the meat wasn't even really meat. They're complaining about fish and watermelon and zucchinis. And over here, they're crying about their families. And we all know that they just got the Torah. Many people were married to relatives they weren't allowed to be married to. Should have been his own parents, right? His mother was the aunt of his father. I don't think they were alive at this time. If Amram was around, he probably would have been the leader. Furthermore, Yocheved would have been 210. So what happens? The pasuk tells us, "Vayichar af Hashem od." God gets very upset. "Ubenei Moshe ra." In the eyes of Moshe, it's bad. Now we know Moshe Rabbeinu was leader par excellence. He is willing to do anything. Hashem comes and says, I want to destroy the Jewish people. They sinned with the Chet HaEgel, with the golden calf. Moshe says, no. If you think about taking them, erase my name from your book. Unbelievable leader who will do anything for his people. Greatest leader we ever had. And you look at the reaction Moshe Rabbeinu has over here. The people are complaining. My little kid comes to me and says, I'm so hungry, I want meat. Yeah, poor thing, give him some food. Moshe Rabbeinu not only gets upset, but listen to what he says. Moshe Hashem, why'd you do bad to your servant, to me? Why didn't I find favor in your eyes? That you put the weight of the nation on me. Did I give birth to them? Was I pregnant with them? Did I give birth to them? You want me to take care of them like a nurse takes care of the mother nurses the baby? Al ha'adama asher nishba la'avotav. That needs its own explanation. What is al ha'adama asher nishba? He's in the desert. What is the land that you promised? Nothing to do with anything. Ma'ayin li basar. Where do I have? I have six. There's 3 million people. 600,000 men. I have enough meat to feed all these people. Ate the kol amazeh ki yifku alai, that they're crying. They more tinu lanu basar v'nochela. They want meat. Again, it says, he says they're complaining about meat. Lo uchal anochela badil ate the kol amazeh. I can't take care of these people anymore. He chaved me many. It's too hard for me. Vimko ata aseh li. And if you're gonna do this to me, harugeni naharog. Kill me. That seems quite extreme. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest leader of all time, comes to God and says, they're complaining! I can't anymore! Kill me! That doesn't sound like a very good leader. Let alone the Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest leader of all time. The reason Hashem picked Moshe is because he was so caring. He cared about the little sheep. He was... Kill me? If I found favor in your eyes, go ahead and kill me. Have you ever thought about this? What's going on over here? So Hashem says, don't worry, I have the answer. It's too much for you? It's too hard? You want to die? I got the answer. Get 70 people, 70 elders, and we see the Pasuk tells us they were the Shotrav. They were the ones, they were the capos, if you will, in Egypt. I'll give from some of your glory onto them. Well, Hashem didn't have enough glory to give out, but okay. How does that solve the problem? The people are complaining, we want meat. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ma'ayin li basar, I don't have meat to feed these guys. God says, don't worry. I'll give you 70 zekeni. What does one have to do with the other? So, Mefarshim explain what's going on in this story. Just to recap the question. What does it mean? Hit'avu ta'ava, they desire, What were they really complaining? Are they complaining about meat? They're complaining about fish? They're complaining about mishpechotam, about their families? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu acting and seemingly so furious, saying, go ahead and kill me, I can't deal with them anymore? And how are the Shivim Zekenim, how are they going to help solve the problem? So Mefashim discuss what's going on over here. And the key is in the words, hit avu ta'ava. They desire the desire. What does that mean, they desire the desire? So Mefashim explain. We have some natural born desires. You have a natural born desire for women. It's ingrained in who we are. You have a natural born desire to eat. Nobody has a natural born desire to smoke. It's not natural. First time that someone picks up a cigarette, usually as a kid, they're coughing for like 10 minutes. It's not a natural born thing. You go to some Himalayan mountains, you find some guy in a tribe. You take him, you bring him into a casino. He doesn't have a ta'ava to gamble. There's no desire. It's not a natural ingrained thing. There's certain desires that we create. We create certain desires. Some things we have. But many of the things that we have a yetzer hara for, a ta'avah, a desire for in today's day and age, it's our fault. We created that. There's a famous Jewish comedian. He says, they gave me the stinky cheese and the wine, and it was terrible. And they told me, you gotta develop a taste. Develop a taste. You don't gotta develop a taste for chocolate. You don't gotta develop a taste for pizza. But certain things, smoking, beer, alcohol, you gotta develop a taste. But then once you have that taste, once you created that desire, you can't stop. In Yom Kippur, we have a whole list of al-chetz. And one of the al-chetz says, al-chetz shechatana lefanecha b'yetzer hara. For the sin that we transgressed with our yetzer hara. And Mefarshim ask, isn't every sin, isn't every avera done with your yetzer hara? What do you mean? Hashem, please forgive us for the God gave us yetzer hara. We have desires. But why are we saying, please forgive us for the sin that we sin with yetzer hara? Is there any other sin? Mefarshim answer this answer. You're right. You have certain ta'ava. I had a guy come to me on Yom Kippur. And he takes out the machzor. This guy doesn't usually come, except for Yom Kippur. And he says to me, for the sin that you did by adultery. He's like, Rabbi, I didn't commit adultery. My 14-year-old son most definitely didn't commit adultery. Yeah. So we went through. I wanted to scare him a little bit. I said, you know, you could have a beautiful woman walking down the street. You're looking at her. Well, not you're not going to get to Shamayim and they say, well, you're going to burn because you had relations with this woman. Chas v'shalom. But there's a little drop. He's like, oh no, I'm in big trouble. Yeah. But the al-chetz, they're there, they're deep. Yetzer hara, you created. The other one, the first one, natural born desire. But a lot of the sins that we do, we've created that. I have to have, you could have a ta'ava, a desire for a car. You could have a ta'ava for a holiday. I need to go there. I have certain kids, that's all. I'm saving up, I need to do this. You don't need to travel over there with your friends. I have to. He built it up in his head so much, he created that desire. I have to live on this road, I have to have that watch, I have to. Hit Abu Ta'aba, they created that desire. And the fact that they're complaining about so many things shows that that's not really it. Shows that that's not really it. I had a girl, and a few different teachers said to me, this girl doesn't want to go to seminary, it'd be very beneficial for her. So I sat down with her, I said, how come you don't want to go? I know, I'm home by myself, my brother's been out for years, I'm like an only child, and it'll be very hard for my parents, and furthermore, I'm very, very finicky, and it's not so clean, and I don't know if I'll be able to, and none of my friends are going, and she gave me like 15 different answers. And I said, when you have that many different excuses, it means none of them are the excuse. That's obviously none of them are true. Because if you had one reason, or maybe two reasons, and that was your thing, it makes sense. When you have 50 reasons why, then none of them are the reason. Moshe Rabbeinu sees they're complaining about meat, and they're complaining about fish, and they're complaining about watermelon, they're complaining about family. And he gets very upset because he understands, first and foremost, they created this desire. They have food. You have a desire for food, so you eat. But they're complaining, and the man was magnificent. Now again, the Mefarshim do discuss how certain times you need to see something. Blind person doesn't get satiated. They don't have it in England as much, they have buffets, but in America, where I come from, the best part of the wedding, many people will tell you, the smorgasbord. Yeah? Because by dinner they come, they give you your plate, you like it, you don't like it, by the smorgasbord you can load on as much as you like of exactly what you like. Yeah? And they give you the little plates and you're trying to figure out how do I get the salt beef and the roast and the chicken and the thing on the stick and the rice and the potatoes, like a mountain, you're like balancing it. And you look and you got this full plate. And you feel, oh, I ate well. There is something to having to see it. The Mefarshim discussed that the Bnei Yisrael didn't see the actual food. The man didn't have the texture. Might have tasted like whatever they wanted, but it's not the same. It's not the same as seeing it. But Moshe Rabbeinu gets very upset because he understands that's not the problem. They have in their mind a certain problem. What's the problem? The problem wasn't the meat, and it wasn't the fish. The problem was the man. What was wrong with the man? So the Mefarshim discuss. What did the man look like? Anybody know what the man looked like? White stuff. And what was the texture? So there's a few different Gemaras that discuss different times. One Gemara says it was like wheat. It was like wheat. Another one says it was like flour. Right? Like flour. And a third Gemara says it was like bread. And Mefarshim discuss, which one was it? And the answer depended on who you were. If you were a tzaddik, you got bread. Not as big a tzaddik. You got flour and the wife had to sit there and make the bread. Really not such a tzaddik. Then, you got wheat and you had to grind it and do it and do the old malachas. And then, your wife had to go take the flour and make bread. Furthermore, how did they get the money? How did they know which one was theirs? So once again, the Gemara tells us, if you were a tzaddik, you opened up your front door to your tent, and right there was your bread. Not such a tzaddik, you had to walk a few minutes. Really not such a tzaddik, you had to walk a half hour, an hour. I don't know if it came down with signs, family, or whatever it might have been, but okay. So what's the problem? You have to understand, in the generation of the Midbar, everything was instantly. Everything was instantaneous. The Jewish people complain over here, and what does God say? You want meat? I'll give you some meat. It's coming out of your noses. That's the lashon hapasuk. That's where the terminology comes from. You're going to have so much meat. Not for a day, not for 2 days, not for 5 days, 10 days, or 20 days. For 30 days, all you're going to have is meat. And again, they had meat. They had korbanos. They brought sacrifices. They had their own animals. It was never about the meat. Hashem says, you want meat? I'll give it to what's coming out of your noses. Everything right away, they complain, boom. The Meraglim, they come next week's parasha, they come, they give a bad report, within a day, they're dead. Korach, in the middle of the machloket, earth opens up, kills him. Nowadays, we chas v'shalom, someone does an avera. God doesn't just send down lightning bolts, earth opens up and swallows you, you die the next day. We have plenty of time to repent. Those days, everything was instant. So you have a guy every morning, tzaddik, opens up his front door, and he's got his bread. One night his friends call him up, oh, we're going, there's a party, this, that. He comes home late at night, the next morning, opens up his front door, nothing there. He starts walking 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half hour, hour, and he finds, oh, he's got his wheat, and he carries it all the way back. He's got the walk of shame, everyone sees him, they know this guy, it's at the front door. Suddenly he's carrying, instead of bread, he's got his wheat. He comes home 2 hours later, instead of bread, he's got wheat. His wife says, I don't understand, where'd you go last night? Eh? Makarapo. The Bnei Yisrael were telling Hashem, they were complaining, it's never about the meat. We can't deal with the man, it's too hard for us. To live in a time and a generation to have that, the second one night you go out, you do something you shouldn't have done, and the next day suddenly you walk of shame and everyone knows? It's too hard. It's too hard, it's too much. Moshe Rabbeinu gets very upset. He says, you think that life's easy? You think you were put here and just going to sit back and get money and it's all going to be good? There's going to be constant miracles 24/7. You don't have to work? You're in this world to be tested. You're in this world to overcome your desires. Not only are you not overcoming your desires, you're creating new ones. Hit'avut'ava. You're making up stuff that's not even really there. You're making it harder for yourself. And you're coming, you're saying, it's too hard, it's too much, I can't. Moshe Rabbeinu's furious. Because the whole purpose of life is to work on your desires. The whole reason we're here is to overcome temptation. And what are they saying? It's too much for us, it's too hard for us. So what does Hashem say? Hashem says, you're right. You know what? I'll give you shivim zekenim, I'll give you elders. How's that going to help? They don't have meat. It was never about the meat. The more rabbis you have, the more people you have getting to the underlying issue. I just had a woman come to me and she says, Rabbi, you don't understand, this guy was at a party and he started a big fight and he doesn't do anything all day and he knocked the guy out. Maybe you could give him a class. I said, his problem is not lack of spirituality. So maybe we could give him a job. I said, you could get him a job, but in my opinion, I don't think he'll hold it down more than 3 or 4 days. She says, yeah, he's already had like 10 jobs. I said, he needs therapy. Serious therapy. So you can get him a job, you can give him classes, you're putting a band-aid. A guy comes to the doctor, he's got pus all over his hand and his blood, and he says, doctor, what do I do? The doctor looks, says, you know what, here's a prescription, go to the pharmacy, get some antibiotics. So the guy doesn't know any better, he says, doctor, antibiotics, I need a plaster, my hand's bleeding, you're giving me pills? What's one got to do with the other? We understand. That's not the real problem. You're right, there's a little bit there. On the hand, there's some pus, there's some blood, but that's not the problem. Where's the problem? It's internal. It's inside. Moshe Rabbeinu understands, this is not the problem. They're complaining about a million different things, that's not the problem. There's something internal. I can't deal with that. You want me to teach Torah, I can teach Torah, but if they're not looking to work hard, well, I'm wasting my time here. What's the point? Kill me. I can't deal with them. Hashem says, we'll get more rabbis, more zikanim, more people to be able to get to the root of their problem. They'll find the infection. We're not looking for band-aids. There's a sefer, or Torah, is discussing the Ten Commandments. And he goes through what each one of the Aseret HaDibrot was there to try and fix up. And he says, Anochi v'lo yelecha shempi ha'gvura shamanu, the first two commandments that we heard from Hashem, shehem shorshim l'chol ha'mitzvot aseh, they're the foundation of all the mitzvot. And he says, "Sha'anochi hu deshaber koach ha'ta'ava." The first commandment, the foundation of all of Judaism, not even really a commandment. All the other ones are don't do this, do this, honor your parents, keep Shabbat, don't kill, don't steal. The first one's not a commandment. Do or don't do. It's a statement. I'm Hashem, your God. The foundation of everything. Famous Ramban at the end of Parashat Bo. God created the world so that we can have that emunah, that connection to God. And that's what he says. "Sha'anochi hu deshaber et ha'ta'ava al yidei ahavat Hashem v'dvatkut bo." When you cling to God, that's what's going to help you break your desires. The whole reason God took us out of Egypt, he says, when we understand God took us out of Mitzrayim, this is the generation, a couple of months later, The whole reason Hashem took us out and gave us the first commandment is to break the ta'ava, to break the desire. And what are they doing? Hitabu ta'ava, they're making up new desires. They're going the extra mile, they're making up things that they don't really need. It's too hard for us to live in a generation where we have to work hard. And I think that's the lesson for us. As we go through life and we have certain desires, speaking to myself here, you have certain temptations, and you have certain challenges, understand that's the purpose of life. Moshe Rabbeinu sees them saying it's too hard. He says, again, you don't want to work hard? What are you doing here? There's going to be challenges, financially, relationships with the spouse, with parents, with siblings, with children. Financially, yeah, it's going to be hard. That's why you're here. You're looking to just give in to desire instead of fight it. You're creating more temptation. It's never about the meat. Shep says, you want meat, I'll give you meat. It'll come out of your nose. That's not the real problem. I have a guy who was telling me he's having troubles with his wife. And he was saying, oh, she wants to live in this country. She'll be happier in this country. I said, it sounds to me like that's not really the problem. That's the excuse that she's saying as to why the problem isn't the country. There's certain fundamental issues in the marriage. But you can find an excuse. You can say, if I had this, then I'd be happy. Then everything would be okay. If my kids this, then it would be... Ask yourself, is that really the problem? Or you're just creating a lot of different problems that aren't really there. Because you're not willing to face the underlying issue. The real issue. Hashem says, I'll give you zakenim, they can help deal with the problem. But it has to be that you go through life understanding, I'm here to fight my desires, not create new ones. Most of my desires, that's my fault. We blame Hashem, I can't control myself, I can't help myself. You created that desire. And Moshe Rabbeinu sees that, he says, I can't. I can't deal with such a people. They don't want to work hard, they're making up their own desires. They have enough Yetzer Hara as it is. To make up new ones, can't deal with these people, Hashem. We have to make sure we go through life stopping and asking ourselves, the things that we complain most about, is that really the problem? Is that really the issue? Or are we looking to just have it easy? To not have to work hard? We go through life and we have Torah, Mitzvot, and the Jewish people are saying, it's all the same problem. It's all the same issue. They didn't want to work hard. The kids running away from school. They were running away from Har Sinai. 6:13 is enough. We're not interested anymore. More you want to give us? Let's just get out of here. We can't. It's too hard. It's too much. There's so many rules. Moshe Rabbeinu sees that and says, you're misunderstanding the purpose of life. These things are the ones that's going to get you closer to Hashem. The Dabek Bakadosh Baruch Hu, to connect to God, to fulfill the first commandment, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, to break your desire, the Shaberet HaTa'ava. So I'll just end quickly with a story I saw a couple weeks ago. The boy named Avremo Greenstein, that his father used all his connections and all his financial influence to get him out of Poland in the early 1940s, sent him to America. And unfortunately, Avremo Greenstein never heard from his parents or his siblings ever again. Avremo decided, this whole religious thing is not for me. I don't care about my Judaism. Look what happened. He changed his name from Avremo to Aaron instead of Greenstein to Green. And Aaron Green decides, I'm moving to a random place that's got nothing to do with Judaism. I'm going to Alabama. He moves to Alabama. He's in university. He's a bit older, but he's in university. And by chance, I don't know, needle in a haystack, he meets a Jewish girl. They get married. Financially, things start to go very well. He eventually has kids. And his son is turning 13. His son's name, I believe, was Jeffrey. Jeffrey's turning 13. And his wife says, should we make him a bar mitzvah? He says, what's the point? We don't even go to temple on Yom Kippur. I told you, I'm not interested in any of that. She says, oh, we should do something. You know, he's becoming a man. So he calls in Jeffrey, says, Jeffrey, it's your 13th birthday. It's a special one. Money's not really an issue. I'll buy you a present, whatever you want. They go to the shopping center. They walk into the electronics store. Big screen TVs. They have the boom boxes. You know, big boom boxes. Remember those? Yeah, CDs were just starting to come out. Jeffrey's looking around, he doesn't see anything that catches his eye, that wasn't his thing. Across the shopping center, there's an antique store. walks in, he starts looking around, and he points, he asks the owner, he says, "How much is that?" And Aaron Green's jaw drops because he's pointing to a wooden menorah. And the owner says, "I don't really think that's in your budget." Which for every Jew means, challenge accepted. He says, "What do you mean? How much is it?" He says, "First I got to tell you the story." He says, "This candelabra," doesn't know what a menorah is, middle of Alabama, "this candelabra I bought at auction. It was found in a concentration camp. And although the owner didn't make it, this candelabra was hidden for months and was recovered from a concentration camp. The owner saved up pieces, little pieces of wood to be able to put it together and hid it for months. But he never got to light it. Whoever lights it will be the first one. How much is it? $10,000. That'd be great." Jeffrey, you know, with the puppy dog eyes, looks at his father and says, "Dad, you promise whatever I want." Takes out the checkbook, $10,000. He comes home. Wife says, "No, what'd you get him?" Takes out the menorah. She's quite surprised. "How much was it? $50, $100? $10,000. Yeah, she tells him, he tells her the whole story. Okay. Makes him happy. A couple of weeks later, parents are downstairs and they hear a crash. They run upstairs and Jeffrey had dropped the menorah. Like any good dad, he starts screaming, "I don't understand, I spent $10,000, are you kidding me? Why are you holding it?" He calms down, they say, "No, let's see if we can put it back together." They start picking up the pieces. Jeffrey says, "Dad, look at this. This little piece of paper folded up." He opens it up, Jeffrey says, "What language is this, Dad?" And Aaron looks at it and says, "This is Yiddish." He says, "Dad, what does it say?" He starts reading. "If anybody finds this menorah, please, please light it. I've been hiding it for months. I don't know if I'll ever get to light it. Even if I do, I'll probably only be able to light it once because I'll get caught by the Nazis and they'll kill me. But it will have been worth it. Because the flame in the menorah represents the Jewish soul, which must always go on." And Aaron Green is starting to cry uncontrollably. And his wife says to him, "Sweetie, what happened?" "Look who it's signed by. Signed by my father." Some people, they look and they complain, why should I have to work hard? And some people are willing to risk everything. Risk their lives to be able to do one mitzvah. Lamanigara, why should I lose that? I want to have tachnun. I'm not looking for excuses. I want to go. I understand. I'm going to challenge myself to overcome my temptation and desires because that's what I'm here for. There's a lot more to say, but I've run out of time. Be'ezat Hashem, we'll make sure we understand that we're here in this world to be challenged, overcome our challenges, our desires, and Be'ezat Hashem, we'll be able to do that. Connect to Hashem with the ultimate connection. Amen.